welcome to the Abilute Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Technology's not my thing. We are changed in His presence, right? And what is it that I love this song where it says it's His love that changes us, because it's His kindness that draws us to Him. And it's His presence and His love that changes us. Because when we respond to that love, the response is to be changed. So it's not our works. It's not what we can do. It's what He does through us. So it's such a simple, it's simple, but not easy, amen? Sometimes the hardest part is just relaxing in that place and just letting go and letting God just do what He does. We want to just work so hard. We just want to strive. We just want to get into the mix. And really, the Bible says we cannot produce any righteousness in of our own self. Even our best efforts are like filthy rags, the Bible says. So our job is just to respond to His love and to His kindness. Amen. So God, we just come to You hearts open wide today. We do just ask for Your presence, God, because we know that Your presence is really what does the transforming in our lives, God. And the Lord, we just pray for more of a revelation and an understanding and a knowing of who You are, God. Knowing like an experiential knowing, just like Pastor Josh preached last week, God. Knowing not in our heads, God, but knowing down in our hearts and knowing through walking with You every day, God, surrendering to You, God. So right now we just lift our hands. Would You just lift your hands with me today? God, we just lift our hands and surrender to You, God. We surrender to Your work in our lives, Lord Jesus. God, we turn our hearts towards You, the author and finisher of our faith. God, and we say yes and amen to what You're doing, God. And we thank You so much that You're faithfully completing that which You began in us. God, and if there's anybody in this room, Lord, that does not know You yet, that has not begun a journey, Lord God, with You, we pray, Lord God, for Your kindness to draw those hearts to You, just like Your kindness drew our hearts to You, God. Because it's Your kindness that draws us to repentance, Father God. And it's Your love that keeps us. So we love You today, God. We give You this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
For now, let's open our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. All right, it's good to see all of your faces today. This message turned into two messages, and it was going to be like my last message in this series, but there's so much here, it's so rich, that I just can't do it in one message, and so we're gonna break it into two, or I could preach for 2 hours. You guys get to choose. Just kidding, yeah, you crazy guys. 2 hour messages. That'll wear me out. I'll be sleeping for a week after that. All right, so the title of my message today is called Living for the Grand Entrance. Well, we're going to just recap really the last few weeks where we've been going over 2 Peter, and we've been staying really in 2 Peter chapter 1 and talking really about spiritual growth, us growing as believers, growing as a church, and how we do that. And 2 Peter really draws out a lot of really great fundamentals for Christian growth. So 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 2, this is in the New Living Translation. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. And I taught in one of the messages about that growing in our knowledge is really about experiencing and exercising. And so we've got to really experience and exercise to grow. And verse 3, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. So we're fully empowered, right? We have everything we need. We've received all of this by coming to know him, Jesus, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Verse 5, in view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed of their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those God has chosen, has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. That's a good promise, right? Do all this stuff. Exercise your faith is really where it comes into. And the Amplified Bible really drew that out, and we were talking about that last week, right? Exercise your faith. And you exercise your faith, you grow in virtue or moral excellence, right? And you exercise that and you grow in your knowledge of Christ, your experience with him. You have to experience faith to exercise it. You have to experience the weight set to exercise your muscles, right? Remember how I drew all that stuff together? See, if you do these things and you focus there, then you will never fall away. Christians can fall away. And I'm not just talking about salvation. We're not going to talk about and argue about whether you can lose your salvation or not. I personally believe that's almost impossible. Or virtually impossible, maybe impossible. But what I'm talking about is falling away from this productive life in Christ. Falling away from a productive life in Christ. That is not God's preferred destiny for us. His preferred destiny for us is to live a life of moral excellence, exercising our faith, producing enormous amounts of fruit, and changing the world around us. Being productive and useful in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just lazy and useless in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You with me? But productive and useful. Who? My sweet beard is making a... causing problems. I'm liking this thing. It needs to behave. All right. So dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you are really among those that God has chosen. Like, we work hard in our faith to prove, like, I really do believe what I say I believe. I really do believe what to whom I belong to. I believe I ought to live the way like the one that I belong to. I should live like his nature. Okay, called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Great promise. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's cool. He will give you, see that? A grand entrance into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I just stopped and I've been meditating on this. In fact, it's the thing that drew me to this passage to teach this whole series was coming right out of this little passage right here. And it just has been chewing on me and just digging deeper and deeper into me. It's like we can live in a way, and the way we live really does affect our entrance into the kingdom of heaven. This is cool. This is a cool thing to even think about. Like how you live now affects how you're going to live for eternity. And it can be a grand entrance. How sweet is that? Right? I mean, I think there can be a contrast here. I think this passage, and I can prove it to you because we're going to dig in, that there is a way that we can not have a grand entrance, just an entrance. Like by the skin of our teeth entrance, and that's in Corinthians, and I'll show you, like, just as the Bible says, by like, just barely escaping the flames. Yikes. Like basically, your salvation is secure, but because of the way we live and how we invest our life, it's not in a way that proves that we were chosen by God. We just barely sneak in. It's like there was nothing productive and useful, and there can be a not so grand entrance. And so, anyway, let's pray, and then I'll let you into my mind about how I see this. Right? So Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is alive today. I'm just believing I'm going to grow and change today. As I preach your word, God, I'm believing you to just penetrate my heart and grow me. Grow me in my faith. I exercise my faith today. I pray that all of us as believers will grow in you. And God, those that haven't chosen you yet today, God, that they will make a tremendous step in their life and choose you, Jesus, for the first time to serve you. And God, they will get a grand entrance into the kingdom of heaven because of what you have done, Lord Jesus. We love you. We submit our lives to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I know that I quote a lot of movies, and I realize that you guys, not everybody watches all the silly movies that I've seen. So we built this little montage for you to see. This is how I've seen this. Since I read this passage, I started to see this contrast of the way that I live my life. I can have two different types of entrances into the kingdom of heaven, right? And we have these two movies, right, to show you how there could be a contrast.
10 through 11 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." So what will your grand entrance look like? Like this? Or like this?
Bueller, Bueller, Bueller.
Like this? Or like this?
Bueller, Bueller.
Like this? Or like this?
Bueller, Bueller.
Let your entrance be grand.
So, welcome to my world. That's been in my head for like 7 or 8 weeks. Yay, you finally get to see what's in there. Thank you, Scott Hussey, for building that for us. What is your grand entrance going to be like? So now every time I quote the Bueller scene, you're going to get it now, okay? He just goes on forever. I mean, just by the skin of your teeth, Bueller, Bueller. Or Can you imagine what some of the faithful people that have lived, that have died, and that died for Jesus, and they lived their whole lives set aside, like a Mother Teresa. Can you imagine what her life was like when she began, when she came into heaven? What kind of grand entrance that might have been? Oh, happy day. I mean, heaven must have exploded when she came through the gate. Now that was probably a grand entrance. What is your entrance going to be like? How are you living for them? How are you living for that moment when you enter heaven? How are you living? What are you living for? And will it lead to a grand entrance? Right? Great thing to think about. Great thing to think about. So the question is this, is where do we invest? If we're like, okay, I'm motivated. I want to live for a grand entrance, right? So where do we invest? Right? Great question. Matthew 16, verse 19. Can you guys still read that? Our background thing. It's okay, right? You can read it okay? All right, good. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Right? So where are we going to store up our treasures? Heaven. We're going to store them up in treasures in heaven. Mark 10, 21. I don't have this one for you, but just stay with me. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go away and sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Come and take up your cross and follow me." So where do we invest? Where do we invest our life? In heaven. What goes to heaven? People. Okay. So it's simple. You want treasures in heaven. You invest in, because people are in heaven. Okay. Yay. Yes. Yes. We don't invest in 401ks, because 401ks don't end up in. Yay. Right? I'm not saying don't have a 401k, but what are you trading your life for? I'm not saying don't be irresponsible. Be responsible. But where are you really investing? Having those natural earthly things to help take care of you and your family and be responsible, really smart, really wise. But where are you investing your life? What are you really trading your life for? As your life slips away, where are you investing? Are you investing in heaven or just here on earth? You and I have to make sure that we are investing in heaven. And the only way we can do that is if we're investing in people or things that directly are building the kingdom that are going to touch people. So like church buildings, right? Shelters, homes for homeless people or for people in distress. Prisons, like prison ministries. Ministries that go out into the jungles or the mountains of Peru, right? The jungles of the Amazon. There are resources we can invest in that become tools to directly impact souls. And that you get a return for. It's great. So you can invest in things that are directly going to build the kingdom and build people, and you get a direct return on that investment. That's a heavenly reward. Store up those kinds of treasures. So like if we die with this giant hoard of money, right? That all just goes away. We miss out on all of that. If we die with all of this time that we didn't invest in other people, it was wasted. Lost. You don't get that back. Time is your most precious commodity. Your life is your most precious commodity that you have before God. And God says that the poor and the rich, it doesn't matter who you are, that your position in life and how much resources you have as financially makes no difference in the impact of what your reward in heaven can be. Because the widow who gave in her little tiny mite, it was all she had, her reward was giant because it was all she had. So listen, no matter what kind of disabilities you have or limits you have, whether they be physical, mental, you know, financial, that doesn't make a difference. We all come from the same starting place. We all have time. And time and your life is what God asks for you to invest. And when you take that life and you impart it into other people's lives, those that are potentially heaven bound, eternal beings, that's when you start storing up treasures in heaven. Can I get an amen? Come on. Amen, church. Are we here today? Right? All right. What an awesome thing. So you have to know where you are going to invest, and you have to know how to invest. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world, loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" What can you give to be saved? How can you pay for all of the sin that you've committed? Nothing you have can do it. For the Son of Man will come in glory, in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Revelation 22, verse 12, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work," or what he has done, or what they have done. There you go. Whichever one you want. "According to his work, according to what they have done." So look, there is a direct link to our reward being conditioned upon our works. You see this? Now, we're a major Grace of God church. We teach about the grace of God all the time. And I don't believe that you can actually store up treasures in heaven according to your own fleshly dead works. You can only store up treasures in heaven according to the works that are birthed in faith and the grace of God. You need the grace of God to do the work of God, because it's his work to do. But he still wants you to do it. And you have to have the faith to respond to the grace of God in obedience. It's beautiful. So God asks us to do something, and he doesn't leave us alone. He fully empowers us by the grace of God to do it. But we, the little linchpin here, well, our job is to respond to that love. And like he just said earlier in 2 Peter, we look at him saying, he goes, exercise your faith. Go get a workout, get a sweat on. But you need to do it in faith. And exercise your knowledge of Jesus. And when those things grow, the fruit begins to abound and come out. But we need to see it coming out. And like I said last week, you can't fake this. You can't pretend. You have to produce, right? There's no pretending in the kingdom. You have to produce. And that means you have to invest. But you and I, the way that our reward is going to look in heaven will be conditioned upon our works in faith. And we don't need to strive about this. Look, this should be easy for us. This should be a light and easy life as we respond to the thing that God is doing in us and he wants to do through us. See, he wants to do it. And so our job is to partner with him and do the things he already wants to do. But he wants to use you and I as a willing vessel, a conduit for his love to touch people so they can feel it for real and it's tangible. When your life and my life touches someone else's, there's a reward attached to that. When, you know, there's a special reward that's attached to those that suffer for Jesus. That suffer for Jesus. We'll talk about that in a minute. But we're going to talk here, just jumping in a little bit deeper about that our works, our reward is connected to our works. God designed us for works. That's in Ephesians 2. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, "I planted the seed in your hearts." Yeah, I don't have the passages up for this one, but just stay with me. "I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow." So we see Apollos and Paul, they're doing a work for God, But God makes it grow. All right? But it's a work for God, led by God, by the Holy Spirit, and they're doing it in grace and in His, by His power. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. So whoever's doing whatever job is not important. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together for the same purpose, investing in people. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. Say hard work. Okay. Let's not get lost in grace and forget that grace is about hard work too. Grace empowers us to work hard. Grace empowers us to live like Jesus. Grace empowers us to work hard and serve other people. That's hard to do. When you go help someone by the grace of God to move their house, that's hard work. I don't like doing that, but I love helping people, right? So I know the reward is great, and so I want to do it. Setting up, tearing down chairs for church services and serving in the nurseries and, you know, picking up little babies and loving on somebody else's babies. That's hard work, but we do it in faith, and we do it to sow a seed in the kingdom. And you know what? It doesn't matter what job we choose to do. The point is that we're all building together for the purposes of God, and God will reward those actions as we do them in faith. But they're hard work. They're not easy. Christian life in grace is not just bumping along and you never break a sweat. It ought to empower us to be greater and stretch us and challenge us all the time. All right. And you are God's field. You are God's building. Because of God's grace to me. So he's saying the grace of God in me. I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. In other versions says a wise master builder. Laid the foundation as an expert builder. Now others are building on it. Whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have laid, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials. These are symbolism here. Gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. You see, you can do a bunch of work that isn't valuable. You need to build a relationship with Jesus and follow the leading of the grace of God as it empowers you to do great work that's in faith, that's in Christ. And it's not work that's building your own building, but you're building God's spiritual house. Not your house, not your building, your thing. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved like somebody barely escaping through the wall of flames. There it is. Yikes. Your works do not determine your salvation. We're going to do it. Ephesians chapter 2. I can't remember if I have this one up there. No, I don't. But I'm going to read it to you. Ephesians chapter 2. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression or sin, cross the line. It is by grace you have been saved. And God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. You believe, and by his power he saves you. It is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For if we are God's workmanship, or we are God's masterpiece, beautiful way to say it, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You see that? We are saved by grace to live by grace to do good works. We're not saved by grace to live by works. You can't get caught there. And all this legalism, and if I don't do this, then I'm going to be punished. No, you're not going to be punished. God's not going to be disappointed in you. But yes, he made you for something great and something amazing. And he saved you by grace so you can live by grace and do great works. And when you do those great works, he's so good that it's not just about you get these great works. You get this grand entrance into the kingdom of heaven too. And then you get to see the fruit here on earth. The rewards here on earth are more than I can withstand. Like, the rewards already for the way that I've invested my life in the kingdom, it already makes my heart want to blow up. It feels so good. Investing in people for decades, there's a great reward in return here on earth for that. It feels really good. And that's just a drop in the bucket compared to what the grand entrance is going to feel like. Forever and ever and ever. No end to the reward. That's a good investment.
I'm not a smart man, right? But I know what a good investment is.
Right? Come on. Just buy in. Just buy in. Buy into the kingdom of heaven. You're seated in heavenly places now. You're designed to live in heavenly places now. You're designed to live like Jesus now. Exercise your faith. Live for that grand entrance. Learn how to be saved by grace and how to live by grace as well. But living by grace is not living in laziness. Living by grace is living in the fullness of God's power that has been entrusted to us. It's about faithfulness. And if we jump forward to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, and I have this passage here for you. So look at Apollos and me. He's following up his message here, and he says, look at Apollos and me, mere servants of Christ, who have been put in charge of explaining God's mysteries. Now, a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. This is new covenant, real authority delegated to real men, supposed to be faithful to that. There's real accountability involved in the way that they live their life, all right? Verse 3, as for me, it matters very little how I might be evaluated by you or by any human authority. It matters very little because I'm not living for here. I'm living for somewhere else. I don't even trust my own judgment on this point. I love Paul. He's a real humble, straightforward guy. We don't really know with what we see right now how that's going to really shake out. But I'm going to do my best before God, that I'm going to try to please Him before I please man. There's a lot of things that people might want me to do as a pastor or you to do as a congregation member or even a Christian in your workplace that you ought not to be doing. You need to be standing before God for the thing He charged you to do. He said, I'm entrusting you with this, and I'm giving you the authority. First, I give you the responsibility. Now I'm giving you authority to carry out that responsibility, and I'm going to hold you accountable to it. You're going to enter the kingdom of heaven, and I'm going to ask you about that thing. Don't believe me? Well, read on. My conscience is clear, but that doesn't prove that I am right. See? I love it. He's all like, I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm doing the best that I'm going to be doing. And I don't really know if you know what I'm supposed to be doing. And I really don't care. But I really care about what he thinks. And I don't even know if I'm right about it. But I'm going to keep doing my best because my conscience is clear. Right? Okay, maybe you're not still with me. But that was, it made sense to me. Because the Lord himself will examine me and decide. It is the Lord himself who will examine me and decide. So I don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns. Before the Lord returns, not before the end of the church service, right? Before the Lord returns, for he will bring our darkest secrets, yikes, to light. And will reveal our private motives. The motive of your heart. God's going to sift. He's going to put, said just before this, same Bible passage, same context. He's going to put it under the fire. He's going to test it up. He's going to light it up. And the bad stuff's going to come to the top. The bad stuff's going to burn up and the good stuff's going to be left. And he will bring our darkest secrets to light. He'll draw them up. And even the motives of our heart, why we did what we did. See, if we don't check our motives and why we're doing what we're doing, if I'm investing in my brother Walt because I really want to look good in front of everybody, then I didn't really make a kingdom investment in him. I made one in myself. That's wood, hay, and stubble. That's going to get burned up. Because I'm not really loving him. I'm actually trying to love myself. Love with a hook. Right? We don't love with hooks. We love with straight arrows. Right, church? Straight arrow love. I'm going to give to my brother Keith. I'm giving to my brother Keith. I'll give you some love too. straight our love, right? I'm going to love him and I'm going to expect nothing in return. That's a sowing a seed, an investment. I don't deserve anything back. When we give to the church, we don't expect to have control of the pastor.
Well, you know how much I give, brother. Actually, I don't. Praise the Lord.
I stay out of that business. I don't want to know. I want to give. It's my job is to give to you, right? Your job is to give to what God calls you to give to. We invest, we give. All right. Then God will give to each one whatever praise is due, reward. He's going to test it. So listen, you can't fake this. You and I can't fake this. We can fake it to one another. Fake it till you make it, right? You can't fake it till you make it in heaven. In heaven, it all gets burned up. Good, bad, or the ugly. That's it, right? One way or the other. It either gets burned up or not, right? So how are you living? How are you living? Are you living for that grand entrance? Are you? What is that? What are that day-to-day, what does that investment in your life look like? Amen. I'm going to have to stop this message right in the middle of it here. She's got so much more to do. And we're just going to do it next week, okay? So we're going to finish the rest of this whole message next week, and we'll wrap it up. But I want you to think about this. Let's go to my title slide. Living for the grand entrance. How are you living? How are you living? And will that show up in eternity? Or are you going to show up just like, oh, whew, I just made it. Hey, that's good. That's really good. Let's just make it to heaven. Like, that's great. Choose Jesus. Choose Jesus. And you will make it to heaven. And nothing can separate you from that love. Absolutely beautiful. Absolutely true. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Starts it, he ends it. But there's so much more for you and I to live for. So much more. Way more than just bumping along, surviving till we get to heaven. You can thrive now. You can reproduce great fruit now. And you can live in a way now that it will absolutely create a massive ripple effect into eternity. Your life, investing in other people's lives, investing in other people's lives. And the entrance into heaven would be unbelievably grand. And what if God stopped time? And I'm speculating right now because he's outside of time. What if God could stop time? And then when we actually have our entrance into heaven, what if it included all of the people at the end of time when God comes back and he reaps it all together? And what if it included our entrance was all the people that came to know Jesus because of our life? And what if they were the ones that were standing there? Yeah, because of you. Maybe they wouldn't make that face. But because of you, we came to know Jesus. Because of your works and faith and God's faithfulness through you, this is your grand entrance. Man, that could be millions for some, for you. Don't underestimate how powerful your life, the measure of the power of you making one disciple. You know, one person disciple, Billy Graham? One person. One woman. Awesome woman of God. How many people's lives ripple effect from that one discipleship relationship? You don't know who you are. You don't know what you've really accomplished. God knows. Paul didn't even know. Imagine Paul's grand entrance. We'll all be there. If it's like the way I described, we're going to show up and be like, you rock. And we love you. And we're going to give him one heck of a grand entrance, right? Will you stand with me, church? What are you living for? Live for your grand entrance. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you, God, that you made us for so much more. There's no one like you. There never, ever will be. And Jesus, you are the captain of our souls, the captain of our ship. God, you are the one who has poured out your grace to save us and to cause us to know you. And to cause us to move forward in you. And God, I'm just believing that this church, every member of this church will have a grand entrance into the kingdom of God. That it won't be like Bueller. God, it will be a great celebration. And Lord, I'm speaking life and your destiny over your people. That God, they will move in your power. That God, they will move expecting great things in the lives of individual people. And God, I'm just speaking salvations and salvations and salvations over our friends and family and people that love you in this room, God. I'm just praying that they will have the courage and the boldness to step out and begin to love those that you're drawing to yourself. God, make us a discipling church that matters to this city, that matters to the people around us, that matters to this world. God, we just love you. Breathe fresh fire on this church. God, motivate us. Stir us up. God, we want to live for you. We want to live for that grand entrance in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I love you, church. You are fantastic. If you want to give your heart to Jesus today, I want to invite you to come down to the front, and I'd love to pray with you. You can have a grand entrance into the kingdom. You first have to know the one who saved you, and his name is Jesus. God bless you all. I love you. We'll see you next week. Come out Monday night, and then also on the February 24th to the worship night. It's going to be awesome. Anyway, God bless you, church. We'll see you next week.